a truth for your heart, that you are not alone. It must be a truth for our heart that we're not alone, always, in the presence of God. His presence will go before you. You know, the word says in the first commandment is, have no other God before me. And the Lord is saying, are you bringing another God before me when you come in my presence? That's a no-no. Have no other God before me in your heart. And this song is a very powerful song to me because it reminds me I'm not alone. It's a powerful song. It's talking about fear here. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I've come to talk about the fear of man and the fear of the Lord. And this is healing school. Fear will stop everything and anything that God has for you. Fear will stop anything and everything that God has for you. Fear is the power of the devil to keep you in the realm of death. In the realm of death, that's the flesh realm. All you're going to get is death. The wages of sin is death. So the fear of man will bring a snare. The Lord says in John, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's our part. And in daily living, how do we do that? How do I not let my heart be troubled? It's about being in the presence of God 24/7. The body of Christ has got to begin to stay in the presence of God, not practice getting in the presence of God. Once you practice, you learn to keep going and going and never leave it. We don't know at first, but we practice starting, but we should eventually get out of the place of practicing being in His presence, where that's where we live, because that's where Christ lived, 24/7 in the presence of God. In the presence of God is all His glory. When we live in the glory of God, nothing can touch us. Psalms 91, do we believe that Psalms? Pastor Trey has taught on that Psalm multiple times here in healing school, at church, in the mornings. I'm sure others have taught on it here. It's a very powerful, true psalm. But if you're just looking at it and getting head knowledge and you're not letting it become life inside of you, it's going to do you no good. The Word of God works that way. If you're just here to get your ears tickled, when you come into the Word of God, at your own private time, in front of other people as they're talking and speaking the Word of God, the revelation they live, hopefully they're living out of what they're telling you they're doing and talking about, because that's true life coming from their heart, imparting it unto your heart so that you can let not your heart be troubled. And when I'm coming here today to talk about fear, this is a place in my heart that the Lord has really been working in my heart, because we're going to go and see how we got fear in the heart, why it's still there, and then what did we do to get out of it? How do we go to the other side, in the Lord's side? And fear is deep in us. We're born into it. Adam fell. Fear came. And so, when we have things hidden in our heart, and we don't help express them to others, you know, James tells us, and Pastor Trey even mentioned it at the end of the service on Sunday, confess your faults one to another. Why? So you can pray for one another. Why? So you can be healed. That's how simple healing is. Because see, when we stay in the dark and there's no light on it, we can't get out of the darkness. And that's the enemy's territory. So as we stay there and we don't begin to confess our faults one to another, the body of Christ is really starts, it needs to start getting real and true with one another. I'm going to use some words that's going to bring some fear to the body of Christ. You never hear it. Pornography. Male and female get into pornography. Fornication. Lying. Adultery. See, we don't want to talk about those things in the church, and that's why we're hurting. I'm not saying get up and toot your horn and tell everybody what's going on. I'm saying find somebody in the body that you can talk to, because I can guarantee you, abortion, miscarriages, stuff that keeps you in the darkness, the enemy says, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Because they'll reject you. There's the fear of a man. Fear of man being rejected by man, but what creates that fear in the heart that makes you fearful to share yourself with somebody else? It's the fear in the heart of your own heart. And I'm going to just give a testimony, a short one here on my own. The fear I had in my heart, and my husband is okay with me telling this. I had an adulterous affair in my marriage, 7 years into my marriage. And I hid it for 20 years from my husband. And the fear that I was in kept me there. I wanted to tell him over the years, but I was fearful of him leaving me. I was fearful of losing everything I had. And when I pressed into the Lord, as I grew in the Lord and began to know this, I said, Lord, I can keep that a secret, can't I? He says, yeah, you can, but you can't go any further with me. In your walk, you want to get in with me. You can't do it when you have a lie in your heart. You can't do it with the Lord when you're in darkness. When you have darkness in your heart, and fear is great darkness in the heart. And Satan uses fear. That's his power, but you and I have been translated from the power of darkness. The Lord has come and has abolished death. That's where fear comes out of, death. It's like, by grace, through faith, you are saved. By death, through fear, you're in bondage. By death, through fear, you're in bondage. Let's go to Hebrews. Well, let me go first to the scriptures. I just jumped right in there and started like... It's Proverbs 29:25 is one of my foundational scriptures I'm teaching from. The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A snare is, what is a snare for? And what's the intent of once you've been trapped? Huh? That's it. So if Satan's coming to you with fear, his intent is to kill you. Oh, he'll kill you physically too, because he's working that out, but he's trying to kill you spiritually so that you can't walk with the Lord. You are afraid to come before the Lord, and that's what he wants you to be afraid of. Because see, when we walk with the Lord, he says, if you're walking with him, if you're with him and you trust in him, you're in his presence. And his presence is love. And love is the power of the spirit realm. Spirit life. Love is the power of the spirit life. Love. So when you and I get in the center of God's love, like Psalms 91, we're hidden in Christ. Nothing can touch us. But Satan says, let me draw you out. See, my desire, and I ask the Lord, is I want to walk in the midst, the middle of your love. I don't want to be on the outer edge, because on the outer edge, I can be snared a lot easier. And this is what the enemy does. He keeps you, he's trying to draw you constantly to the edge and pull you across that love so that he can take you out right there. And that's what his plan is. So the more we walk and we desire and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to get into the center of his love, That's our defensive weapon, and that's our offensive weapon. That is, everything we need is Christ in us, God. But if he can pull you out of love, he'll snare you. And he's not going to wait to snare you. He's going to do it quickly, because he wants to take you from the Word of God. He wants to dampen your witness of the Word. So the other scripture I'll be teaching from is Proverbs 8:13. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now I'm coming at this with a little different understanding. The fear of the Lord is a spirit. And I'm going to go there and show you this. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And he breaks it down. What's evil? Pride. Arrogance. The evil way and the frothward mouth do I hate. Now, if we belong to the Lord, we need to begin to hate these things too. And you know, the easiest one we get stuck in? Well, pride is the big one. We don't see it as pride because we don't recognize what pride truly is. But pride, a lying tongue. This is healing school. This will keep you in evil when you oppose yourself with what the Word of God says. There's a Word of God in you. He's alive. His name is Jesus. When you and I say something opposite of what he is, we oppose him and ourselves. We're lying. It's a perverse mouth. Well, I've got something in my body. I must be sick. By his stripes, you are healed. Which one is truth? I don't care what it looks like in the physical realm. Which one is truth? The value of your word, Lord. The value of Christ in you. I am not alone. Christ in me. What he says is truth. Not what I think is truth, but what he says is truth. You got to ask yourself at that moment. You have a chance to change your mind. Yep, you're right, Lord. I am not sick. Man, this may be in my body, but it has no authority to be there. It's a lie of the enemy. It's a smokescreen to keep me in fear that you're not with me, that I'm alone fighting this myself. That's not what God is doing. He wants us to come before him and stay before him always. The Spirit of the Lord, well, first off, let's just go find out, how did we end up with this spirit of fear? How did man get the spirit of fear? Because he says to us in Hebrews 2:14-15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he, which is Christ, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Ezekiel 11 also describes this, and I'm going to go there. But let's go back to the garden. You know, when I love sitting there and just trying to be as though I was with, I am Adam. That's what I like to do. I like to play the role and try to see. And I ask the Holy Spirit to open things up so my heart can see what took place. So as I'm sitting there with and thinking about the fear that I had had in my heart for over 20 years because of an issue, and there was other issues in my heart. That was the biggest one. It affected everything. It affected my relationship with my husband. I began to get very angry with him. It affected the relationship with my sister and a brother. Fear will drive you into seclusion. That's the whole point. So he can just hammer you. The weak one, the enemy's coming for. So Adam is in the garden, right? And the Lord gave him I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not going to read the scriptures. And the Lord told him not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you do, you'll surely die. In dying, you're going to die. Now, you know, Adam, I'm sure he didn't really understand what that meant. Adam was not full-grown, mature in his understanding of God. Y'all, we have to understand that. He was like us. He's a baby. He was learning. He knew God. He had relationship with God. He was in the presence of his love. But he didn't know a lot about that. And then Eve, he brought Eve into the garden through Adam, out of Adam. And then they sat, and they just wandered the garden, you know. The tree was not even in their sight. If you think about it, they never even noticed that tree. It doesn't say they do, and I'm going to say they didn't, because there was no one to tell them about it except for God, just don't eat off of it. Okay, and they went about their business. And then one day the snake come along, and Satan said to him through the snake, "Hey, Eve." And Eve was not Eve, she was Adam. "Did God say?" And he started rehearsing the words of God. And Eve gave him the answer. "No, you know, we can't touch it, and we can't, and if we eat of it, and this and that." And then the enemy says, "Hey, but look, God knows, surely you're not going to die. He knows that as soon as you eat of that, you're going to be like God's, knowing good and evil." You know, she didn't even question that. She didn't know what evil was. Only God knew what evil was. And God knew about evil. Adam and Eve did not. Adam did not know about evil. But when Eve looked at it and said, "Oh, it's good for food. It's," now my mind went blank. "It's good for food." Let's go here. She perceived, "It's good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and it desires to make her wise." This is the deceitfulness of Satan. And this is his strategy in yours and my life. He deceives. He deceived her. He twisted words of God and deceived her. And he actually made her look at herself. She didn't have self-awareness prior to that, because they were naked before each other and never noticed it. So self was not, all they could see was the presence of God. They were in the surroundings of God in his presence. They knew that. But when she partook and ate and gave to Adam and he ate, it says pride comes and then the fall. Pride. The Lord says the spirit of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. The enemy is always going to bring you and me to self, which is pride. He'll let you notice self before you notice God. Pride. And better know that when pride comes and you're looking at self, there's a fall following it if you don't change your thoughts and get back into the ways of God. So Adam, I sat there and I just kind of watched and I just thought about how Adam did that. You know, he was naked before God. Before he fell, and he wasn't ashamed. But the minute he partook, it's like when you and me do something. When I had that adulterous affair the first time I did that, after the fact, I knew I was, fear hit me hard. And the same thing in Adam. I believe it with all my heart. When he ate, death, boom! And I bet you those eyes, and he said his eyes were open. They opened with fear. And his heart was hardened in fear. And he knew he had done something against God. And at that same time, when pride comes in, we'll always divide. Even Adam became two different people. They were no longer Adam. They were Adam and Eve. They were divided. Pride will always divide you from the Lord first and then from anybody else that's in your atmosphere. That's what pride's coming to do, to divide you, divide the body of Christ. You know, when we get into flesh, we're in pride in the body of Christ. It's just to divide us away from the Lord. So if he can divide you in your heart when you get sick, you won't go to him for help. You'll fight it in your own strength, and you can't do that. So, in the spirit of fear came upon Adam. Now, you have to understand, death is just the opposite of life. Spiritual death is just the opposite of life. Spiritual life is a consciousness, is a conscious existence in the communion with God. Spiritual life is a constant existence in communion with God. Spiritual death is a conscious existence in the separation with God. Now, we don't think that out when we're in it, but fear brings that death. Fear takes you down into death. You're separated from God when you get in fear. In Luke 21:26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 34 says, it takes heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, which is dissipation, which is an overcharged heart with drunkenness of the cares of life, so that the day does not come upon you unawares. That's how subtle Satan is. He'll come upon you unawares through pride, through fear. He'll bring you into fear, just like he did Eve. No, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Don't hear what God said. Look at yourself. You're going to be like God. You know what? You and I were never to be created to be like God, independent of God. We still today, when we receive God, we still try to be like God without God. And that is bringing another God in the presence of God, which is yourself. And he said, don't do that. You got to die to that self. That self died with me at the cross. So you come to God. You and I come in the presence of God. We talked about an empty vessel. We are an empty vessel. And he says, you put the water in that vessel, servant. Fill your vessel with water. That's the word. And I will turn that water into wine. You and me can't do that. We can yield our will to him and go 100% with him in our will. Lord, I want to. I yield my will. And in Romans 6, he says, but I don't know how. I don't have the power. You and I do not have the power to turn the water into wine. The Holy Ghost does that. That's what we're talking about this whole year, the presence of the Holy Ghost and what he's here for. He is here for you and me, not for us to say, Holy Ghost, come on, I need you now. Mm-mm. We do that all the time, I'm telling you. I come up in the military, see, and the military is a different sense of the man on the right, this man. When you're in the military, you come in order of rank. The lower ranking stands on the left-hand side of this person. Meaning, if I'm walking, if someone sees me coming from a distance, they don't have to see my rank or his rank. They see the person on my right, they know that's the rank in this person, and you're going to salute that person. Or you're going to honor this person over me. And what he says, I do. Not me like, hey, come on, Colonel, we're going over here. No, it's the opposite direction. It's like, this has higher, he's not my right-hand man to do what I want him to do when I want him to do it. He's the right-hand man to tell me, I'm upholding you with my right hand. I'm maintaining you. I know the battle plan. I have the honor and the value. Not you, not me, him. So when we walk there with him, we have to remember this. And so what Satan will do, he will always try to pull you in by fear to get you over here so he can snare you. And fear and healing is huge. This is not your strength. Jessica, that walker is not your strength. Connie, that walker is not your strength. If the Lord says, step out and come and walk, will you or will you not do that? Not that I'm not talking to people that just have a physical ailment. Will you step out and walk? Will you come? Peter came, not on the water, but on the word of God. He walked on come. The water was just there. Will you trust me to hold you up when I say, Lynn, rise and walk now? Will you trust me? If you fall, will you trust that I've got you? But if you'll trust me, you won't even fall. I know that's hard for us to grab a hold of. And I know people say, well, you're not in my shoes. Yeah, I have been in your shoes. In my heart. And that's where your heart's in the same bind that my heart was in. If you fall, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know. That's the fear. The devil says, if you fall, what's going to happen? I could die, but where I'm going? Heaven? Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you to hold me up because you're the one that holds me up. You're the one that takes me down that road. You bring me to that place. When Adam fell, let's see. He says here in Timothy, right? The Lord says to Timothy through Paul, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a power and love and of a sound mind. If your mind is not sound, assured in the word of God, you're not going to be able to walk as victoriously as you are already set in that place. He says in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. When you're born again, you have not received that spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, when Adam fell, his eyes were opened immediately to death. And I just believe when Satan saw the fear, because when God came to him, he said, Adam, where are you? I heard your voice, and I was afraid, and I hid myself from you. See, he didn't even include Eve. Baby, you're on your own. I'm hiding myself now. He hid himself. But you know that word hide is a word that means withdraw. And when you study it down to the root word, he hid from the presence of God's love. He walked right out of the love of God, where his defense and his offense was always to be. So when fear comes your way, it's to pull you out of that love. Because if you don't trust that God will hold you up when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're just sitting, then you will walk in fear and you will walk in death and you will get nothing but the wages of death. You won't be victorious. You are already victorious. We come from that place, but we got to get our hearts set there. It's a learning thing, y'all. It is a learning process, and it will continue the rest of our lives to do this. But see, the Lord said in Ezekiel 11:19, after Adam fell, we just see how we got that spirit of fear. Ezekiel 11:19. He was prophesying. about what Jesus, the Son of Man, your brother, and he's saying in here, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I would take out the stony heart of their flesh, and I would give them a heart of flesh. That word stony heart right there, that means a petrified heart, petrified with the terror, petrified with terror. That's what we come from. And the other word for fleshly heart is a heart to be fresh messenger, to publish good tidings, to bear the good news. And no. So you and I, I'm going to say this right here, seriously as I can, we have no excuse before God to not to be able to walk where He's called us to walk. No excuse at all, because He's given us everything we need. Himself, everything. Nobody is without excuse. Myself, the godliest person on this earth, is not without excuse if they're not walking in that place. Because, see, it's not our job to do it. It's the Lord's job to maintain me and you. He says that. In the spirit of fear, and I want to go there because this is really exciting to me. Because, see, if you don't know you have this, well, it's kind of hard. You're going to be a little bit more, how do I do this? Isaiah 11. It's the lack of knowledge is why we're perishing, because we have not, and my big thing is the ministry of reconciliation. God put that in my heart. If you do not sit with Him, that is your ministry and my ministry. That is every believer's ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, which means you come back and reconcile yourself, get in harmony with me, walk my ways, do it my way, hear my voice, you know, lay all that other stuff down. And that's a personal relationship with the Lord in His presence, knowing Him face to face with no other God before Him. Isaiah 11. Jesus came and announced it. I mean, Isaiah in 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Is He? Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Well, he says in chapter 11, and verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Jesus was being baptized in the River Jordan and raised up, and the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. And the Lord told John, when you see the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him, that's the one. Now, I truly believe that this Bible is written to a born-again believer that has been baptized into the name of Jesus and a Spirit-filled baptized in the Holy Ghost. There was an understanding. When you're reading this, you know you have that power, because without the baptism, the power is not going to be as strong. You cannot walk it the same way just with the baptism of the name of being born again, because you and I don't have the power. It's in us. We just have to release it. And this is the Spirit of the Lord. It's the menorah, Jewish menorah. It's a picture of that candlestick. He says, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, what's the fear of the Lord? To hate evil. You know, when we begin to hate evil, we'll begin to get a lot of wisdom, because we're not walking in evil anymore. We're going to be walking with the Lord. We're going to start receiving the knowledge of God and understanding. It says the fear, it says it's a spirit of counsel and might. You don't need to go to anybody else but the Holy Ghost for counsel. I mean, you don't, I'm just getting down to the bare, I'm getting to the bare basics here. You have no excuse. Me either. When I point you, I'm saying me too. I can go to the Holy Spirit for counsel. And His power makes it possible in me. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Lord, you hate pride. Oh, let me tell you, pride is a thief. pride is deep in your heart, and you're going to sit there and say, no, it's not. You're in pride right now. Because until you become in front of the Lord and really sit with Him, and you begin to let Him minister to you, to show you these places. I'm talking out of a testimony that I've walked through in the last 5 years at this church. What God has done in my heart with the pride that I had when I came into this church. And boy, it feels good to have it stripped out of me. But it still can come up because it's the flesh. Don't think it's perfected. It's not. You're just getting more understanding of who you are in Christ. And you begin to walk by the spiritual life instead of the death life. So he says here in Isaiah, this is the Spirit. So in Ezekiel 11, oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't want to go there. We already just went there about that petrified heart. So in the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let's go back over to Proverbs. Well, I got two purple notebooks and I got them mixed up. Y'all, I like doing this. Oh, God is good. I got one way and He's got another. And I got to stop and listen to Him because I got things I want to tell you. But He has things more important He wants to tell you. So I'm learning to go His way. So, pride, here's where I was going to. Pride is where there's pride, there's always going to be a fall. That's a guarantee. Pride is trying to be like God apart from God. Well, God, I can do this. God, let me go over here and do this. What do you want me to do for you, God? I can do it. Oh, I got it. That's pride. He did not come here for us to imitate Him in the way of let me be like Him and just do things like Him. You know what a characteristic of a true Christian is? A godly characteristic where you live the same life, not trying. It's just what becomes because your character has changed from this old man to the new man. Into the godly character, the glory of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the loving kindness of God. Walking in those places. When you're in pride, you'll never walk there in those places. You're very self-righteous in pride. You and I are very self-righteous in pride. Arrogance. It is the act or quality of taking much upon oneself. That species of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank, dignity, estimation, and power, or which exalts the worth or importance of the person to an undue degree. Proud, contempt of others, conceitfulness, presumptuous. I'm arrogant before God when I tell Him I can do it without Him. You and me are arrogant when we try to do something without Him. See, this is about your heart, not about me taking it to somebody else and being arrogant, because what's in your heart you're going to give out to others. You can measure your own self by the way you treat people. And go to Christ. Well, that's not you, is it? Uh-uh. That's self. That's the disposition of sin. The claim to my right to myself. Self-realization. I'm my own God. I know you're with me, but I can do this. No, you can't. The evil way. What's the evil way? Anything of the flesh, anything of the death realm. Fornication. Murder. Idolatry. Fornication. We're talking spiritual in your heart. Spiritualize the Word of God. You need to live in the spirit realm as a believer, not in the worldly realm. What is fornication? It's having intercourse with something else besides God, the devil. Pride of who you're right over there. Adultery. Murder. The devil come to kill you, to kill the word of God in you. And idolatry, it's covetousness. I can do this myself. You made yourself a god. You're coveting your own ability. You're now in idolatry, which will bring instant shame to you and me. It'll bring you into condemnation. An idol is a shame. And whenever there's an idol in your life, be it alcohol, pornography, adultery, overeating, drugs, I'm all that. An evil way, stepping outside of who you truly are in Christ, and the perverse mouth coming against the word of God that's in you. 2 Timothy 3, I think. Let's go there real quick. Again, I just highlight it. Oh, 1 Timothy, excuse me. No, it's 2 Timothy. I get the two Tims mixed up. Oh, come on, where are you? You got it? Nope. Because I didn't tell you what I wanted, did I? Hold on. It's about that, the verse about opposing yourself. 2 Timothy 3. Hold on. Where are my Bible scholars? See, y'all should be able to jump right up here and... Huh? It's about those that you teach them, teach with patience. Oh, here it is. It is 2 Timothy 2. A servant of the Lord must not strive. That's you. But be gentle to all, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive by him at his will. When you and I are in fear, we are now into the will of the devil. And you and I cannot fight him. You and I will never win while we're in his realm. The only way we win is to come up into the realm of the Spirit where the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything for you. So when you're in your heart and you have healing that you need emotionally, physically, whatever, you need to be able to talk to yourself. When you're opposing yourself, okay, thank you. So as we do this, see, if there's nobody else around you to go to, you have the Holy Spirit. That's why he came for us. Even if you don't know the word, call on him. Trust him to help you. He's never going to let you fail. Ever. Again. So when you begin to tell yourself, the minute pain comes on you in your body, you must take authority. We just kind of sometimes think that's something not to be too concerned about and just let it ride. It's not. If you got a headache, see, you got to start small and learn how to do these things. You can't just jump into, I got full-blown cancer and I'm going to sit here and come against it. I mean, you could probably do it with help, maybe, I don't know, but it sure is easier if you just start with a headache. Instead of taking a pill, take the gospel. Lord, you said, by your stripes I'm healed. Pain, you don't have any authority in me. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Pain, you got to go in the name of Jesus. I command it now in the name of Jesus. And then you keep walking as though it was gone. Because it will go if you don't give it, if you don't give it attention. Jonah said in Jonah 2:8, I think it is, those that observe lying vanities forsake your own mercy. When you begin to observe the sickness in your body, you are forsaking your own mercy. And God keeps mercy forgiving. Always looking over His word, forgiving, being gracious, being kind, giving truth, giving goodness. But if you forsake the lying vanity, you and me, we're not going to get life. We're going to get death. But our mouth is our biggest problem. We hear it every Sunday. Death and life. Well, actually, we put life in death, but the word says death and life. Because guess what's usually coming out of our mouth first? Death. And whichever one you eat, you're going to get the benefit of it. Do you want death or you want life? If you start to speak death, stop it. Cast it down. Bring it back into the obedience of Christ. That's how you battle in your heart. That's how you bring your heart back to God. That's how you get back into His presence. And you cast down anything that brings fear at you. You have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. You better. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to walk. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. You have to know His peace. You have to understand His righteousness. His righteousness, His kingdom, you seek that first. You seek His righteousness, and all the other stuff will be taken care of. Because when you and I begin to seek His righteousness and understand what He gave us, when He came and set us free on the cross by His stripes, He's given us the most precious gift ever, His righteousness, which is Christ Jesus in me, the hope of glory. When you and I begin to understand what His righteousness is, you will not ever, ever go wrong. When we truly get that in our heart and begin to walk it out, His righteousness just came to give us the opportunity. We are now able to walk as though we're supposed to walk. You have no excuse for not walking in victory. He put it in you. He's given it to you. He has set you free from the bondage of fear. He has made it possible for you to live in righteousness. We couldn't do it before, but we can now. So the Lord is saying to you today, Isaiah 41. I'm going to close with this because I think it's time to get out of here. Isaiah 41. This was a scripture the Lord gave me many, many years ago when I first realized I walked in fear. Everybody says, well, I walked in fear. Yeah, you were born into it. You just got to reconcile yourself back to God. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear you not. Why? For I am with thee. If you don't get anything else out of that and you tell yourself in the middle of fear, fear you not, because God is with me. Fear me. Why am I in fear? God is with me. Man, God, if you're with me and you're for me, who can be against me? Fear you not, for I am with you. Don't be in dismay, because I am your God. Here's our problem. We haven't made Him our God. We still in the way. I'm my own God. God's with me. I got it. No, you and me are dead. His life is in me. It's God in me. He will strengthen me. He means physically, emotionally, spiritually. You need strength in your body? You draw off of Him, Lynn. You draw off of Him, Connie. You draw off of Him, Jessica. And everybody else in this room, you draw your physical strength off of Him. You have eternal life in you. When you get up in the morning, you go, I'm tired. No, I'm not. Body, shut up. I have eternal life in me. You are going to line yourself up to the Spirit that's inside of you. And He says, He strengthens me. Lord, I'm strong today. He will help me. I can't help myself. He will uphold me with the right hand of my righteousness. That's Him talking, my righteousness. If you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and if you don't know what His righteousness is, you'll never know what's upholding you. And you won't be able to walk it because you don't know. Because your lack of knowledge, you shall perish. We have to sit and get in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. Walk from that place, in and out. Not in and out, maybe moving, but we walk out into the world in His presence. Because wherever He goes, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Next time you get fear, you have just forgotten. You said to yourself, you left me. You didn't say that out loud in your head, but your heart's saying it because you're fearful. But you stop immediately and you come back to the Word of God and you bring it back. You bring yourself, you bring your body under to the Word of God. And fear, you know, this is a great study. You must study. You must study. And get into the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to show you these things and reveal to you, your heart, what you need. He knows you uniquely. He knows what you need. So sit with the Lord. You've been able to come now in His presence, boldly before the throne of grace, without fear, without fear. What is it you need today? The Lord's asking. Come to the mercy, come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find a grace in the time of need. You've already got it, you just don't know it. You're thinking you're alone and you're not. You're not. You're not alone. Cast all your burdens upon Him, He says. Because I care for you. I care for you. When you humble yourself to that place, great grace will come upon you. Father, I thank you so much for the Word. Lord, I thank you that this is the day that you have made, and this is the day you say that we just need to be with you right here in this place right now. Totally sold out, absolute surrender. I know nothing, I am nothing, I can do nothing, Lord. That's what we come before you saying every day in our heart, Lord. Only you can bring me to that place of salvation as I yield my will to you and I open my heart to you and your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed today. I'm not waiting for healing. I am healed. I am healed. Say it.
I am healed.
Say it.
I am healed.
Say it. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it and I will not let it go. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Good word. Good word. Praise God. You know, I was just reminded here a moment ago, just to exhort you with something. The Lord led me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Several years back and showed me this is the believer's battle plan and so forth. And one of the things that really stood out to me was this, and I really just want to encourage you with it. When the prophet of the Lord spoke up in the camp of Israel, he said to him, you will not need to fight in this battle. This is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? And notice this, do not fear or be dismayed. We just saw those two words in a verse we just looked at. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Why? For the Lord is with you. And one of the things that really stood out to me about this was he told them not to fear or be dismayed. And the reason why was because the Lord is with you. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart on that. The only reason we ever let fear in and ever become dismayed is because we don't believe the Lord is with us. It's tight, but it's right. So here's the key. You might look at that and say, well, man, then I'm just hopeless. You choose to believe. You don't have to see him. You don't have to feel him. You don't have to do anything like that. You can make a decision like God, the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, told doubting Thomas. He said, do not be unbelieving, but be believing. So you can make a decision to choose that when the fear's coming in, when the discouragement's setting in, you can make a decision to say, nope, I'm grabbing myself by my proverbial spiritual ear, like Arlene was talking about, and I'm setting myself, and Lord, I choose to believe you are with me because you said you will never leave me nor forsake me. You said you are with me to the end of the earth. You said it, Lord. And so I choose to do it, and I start to position myself. You saw that in that verse? What's the position? Worship. You begin to worship God. You begin to praise God. And you become aware of His presence that's already there because He inhabits the praises of His people. And when you start to become more aware that He's there, guess what happens? When love, perfect love, comes into your presence, all fear is cast out. All discouragement goes. Like a bird out of a tree. It'll go when you become aware that He's there. Amen? So let's stand up. Hallelujah. He's there, and we believe it, but we've got to receive it and walk in it in Jesus' name.
I just wanted to add one thing on that. You know, when you don't know how to do something, and we really don't know it, just ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to believe the Word of God. Turn to Him and say, teach me to do this. I don't know how. And He will.
So let's lift our hands up to Him right now. This is a point of surrender. It's like somebody comes behind you and puts a gun in your back, and what do? You put your hands up, right? Right now, we're surrendering to the Lord, and we're about to be the ones pulling the trigger, which is what? Releasing God in our situation. So, Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we choose to believe that, God, You are with us. You are for us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are always abiding in us. So we make the decision to press in and enter into Your presence and to dwell in Your secret place, to abide under Your shadow. So, Lord, we position ourselves in worship and we lift up our hands and give You glory. Right now, give Him glory in your own way. God, we give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise. You are our God and we are Your people, the people of Your pasture. You care for Your sheep. Hallelujah. He said in His Word, saints, do not fear, little flock, for I will give you the kingdom. We are Your possession, Lord. And we receive it right now in Jesus' name. We love You, Lord, and we become aware of Your presence right now. We choose to believe it by worshiping You, thanking You, and praising You in all we do. And we thank You that You're here, ready to heal, ready to save, ready to deliver in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.